Well, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a gift that you've given us, faith. Faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Without faith, nothing can be accomplished, Lord. So we appreciate the gift. It's nothing that we've done. It's nothing that we've earned. It's your gracious hand that gives us this gift of faith. It's too precious for us to keep to ourselves, Lord. So help us to be generous in sowing the seeds of the gospel to everyone in our community. In your name we pray. Amen. How many of you listen to the band Coldplay? Anybody's listen to that? There's a song called The Scientist, and it's not usually my form of music, but this song kind of stuck out to me. It said, the lyrics say, no one ever said it would be this hard. Oh, excuse me. No one ever said it was going to be easy, but no one also said it would ever be this hard. Does that kind of sum up life? No one ever said it would be easy, but no one ever said it would be this hard. Does it describe ministry? Does it describe the ministry of the church when things seem to have changed? Cultures change. The things that we used to do don't work anymore. They just don't. People don't seem to be interested in the message that we have to share with them. So how does God judge success? By the number of people that respond favorably or to our faithfulness? It's a question I want you to answer. Okay, let me hear it. Who says the number of people that respond favorably? How about our faithfulness? And how about those, I don't care one way or the other. No, none of you guys, you don't want to admit it, do you? Yeah, it's our faithfulness. God wants us to be faithful to him. He wants us to be faithful with the gift that he has given us. But it's not easy. It wasn't easy in Jesus' day either. You know, Jesus gives this group a pep talk. We're going to go make disciples, everybody. Okay, here's 72 of you. Now, here's the rules. Don't stop and talk to anyone because the mission is vital. It has to be done now. Don't take any money. Don't take any extra clothing. Just go. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. All right, let's make disciples on three. One, two, three. Go get them, guys. Yeah, right, Jesus. I'll be at the Holiday Inn, No, he sends them out. And they go out, and because they were faithful in their ministry, God blessed them. How many responded and how many rejected them? We don't know. It doesn't tell us. How do we handle that rejection? Jesus said it's okay if people don't respond positively to your message. He said it's okay if people don't. What matters is that you do share the gospel. He said when you come to someone and you come to a town and they refuse to accept you, walk out into the streets, shake the dust off of your shoes as a testimony against them, and then get on down the road. Just leave. You know, rejection is going to happen. It should not affect us. Jesus will handle the rejection like he did in his body on the cross. Amen. Jesus faced a lot of rejection. It's what brought him to that cross. And that cross is what brought us salvation. So we should expect to experience some rejection too in our efforts to bring faith to other people in the name of Jesus Christ. It's just going to happen. But God's grace is sufficient. He sends out his disciples into his harvest. You notice, God never tells us to pray for the harvest, amen? Why? Because it's his harvest. He just asks us to send workers into the field. And he looked around and he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Who is going to go? And that's the question that I want to leave with you today. Will you go? I know our youth's going. And I know they're going to come back, and they're going to be on fire. But what about us? I hear a lot of people tell me they're burned out, and I wonder, how can you be burned out when you're never on fire? Can I get an amen? You got to be on fire. There's a story about this church that was on fire, and it was burning down, and one of the members was standing outside, and one of the neighborhood guys was there next to him, and the church guy looked at him and goes, I don't think I've ever seen you here before. And the neighbor said, this is the first time I've ever seen the church on fire. People of God, we got to get on fire. I don't mean arson. I mean, let the Spirit ignite a spark in us and get excited. Because what is at stake? First of all, the name of my sermon is Jesus Saw Satan Fall Like Lightning from Heaven. Do you believe in a devil? What does the devil look like? Pitchfork? Red pointy tail? Horns? No. The devil takes many forms. Way back in the early parts of Genesis, Genesis chapter 3, he shows up as a serpent. Now, I don't know if a serpent would crawl on its belly before that God cursed him and he had to eat the dust, but the serpent showed up in the garden to tempt Eve because they were in paradise. They were with God. They walked with God every single day. It was the fullness of life that God always intended us to have. But he gave them one condition. He said, the one condition is don't eat from the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything else is for your use and consumption. And so what did the devil do? He goes, Eve, did God really say, if you eat from that fruit, you're going to die? She goes, oh, yeah, God said if we eat from that fruit, we're going to die. Goes, oh, that God, he's always clowning around. You won't die, but your eyes will be opened, and you'll become like God, knowing good from evil. And when Eve saw that the food was good to eat and desirable for knowledge, she took of the fruit, ate, and gave it to her husband, who the lunkhead was standing there doing nothing to stop it. Bad Adam. The devil also appears in many different forms. It tells us that he comes to us as an angel of light. The devil comes to us in many different forms, but the devil is very real. And the force of the devil is present. I mean, just open the newspaper. Just look around the world. You can't help but see the influences of the devil. So we're in a battle, people of God. We're in a battle. Let me ask you this question. Does God send anybody to hell? Who says yes? Who says no?
No.
No. God doesn't send us to hell. What sends us to hell? Let me ask you this one. Are people going to hell? Yeah, why? What?
We're sinners
that refuse to repent. That's right. This is the bottom line. This is where we all enter this world. We all enter this world under judgment. We deserve hell. We deserve separation from God. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ that we're saved. So God says no one to hell, but God gives us rescue from hell. God gives us salvation in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can refuse it or we can take it. If we refuse it, we'll be like those towns in our text that Jesus didn't only warn of judgment, he pronounced judgment. What about you, Capernaum? You're a Jewish city. I did most of my ministry there. If the works of the miracles I did in you, I did in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. You know, God doesn't really get down on us for worshiping with a praise band or an organ. What God judges us on is our repentance. Will we repent and receive the kingdom of God, or will we try to say, well, yeah, I'm not really that bad? You know, compared to this guy, I'm pretty darn good. You know, God's pretty lucky to have me on his team. I mean, should I decide to be on his team? He'd be very lucky. No, that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is at all. We are all miserable sinners. We all deserve the punishment that God has placed upon us. It's only through his grace that he gives us faith. It's only by his grace that we receive it. It's only by his grace that we believe in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we can't just keep it to ourselves. How many of you don't raise your hand on this one because this is a trick question. How many of you were born a Christian? Or maybe you were born in a Christian home, but the Bible tells us that we were conceived in sin. The Bible tells us that we were born in iniquity. Somebody had to tell you about Jesus. Somebody had to bring you to Jesus. Who are you going to be that someone to? Who are you going to be the one that brings someone to Jesus? Who in your life are you going to be able to snatch out of the fires of judgment and bring to salvation? Now, it can be frustrating because we can be bringing it and we can be bringing it and we can be bringing it. And people are just saying, no, man, get out. I don't want to talk about that. I'll talk to you about God, but this Jesus guy, forget it. That's so ethnocentric. That you Christians, you think that you have the only way. What about all the other religions? All paths lead to God. I live on a street called Connecticut Street. There's a house number. There's other roads all around it, but there's only one road that gets to my house. That's Connecticut Street. You can get close by these other streets, but you can't get there. The same way for heaven. There's a lot of similarities in morality and that kind of thing with the world's religions. When we get right down to the problem that separates us from God, and that problem is sin, only Christianity has a way of dealing with it. And the way that Christianity deals with sin is it nails it on the cross. It puts it into the flesh of Jesus Christ. And by his wounds we are healed. By his stripes we have been made whole. Can I get a hallelujah? He has made us whole. And he offers this to us so that we can share. This is important stuff. There's people out there that are perishing. Now, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to contemplate with me the words that Jesus Christ spoke when the disciples came back all fired up with their mission. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I want you to close your eyes, if they're not already closed. Close your eyes, and I want you to think, has there been a time in my life, in my ministry, when Jesus would have looked at my actions and the things that he did through me and would have said those same words, I saw Satan fall? Picture that. What could it have been? Could it have been the time you came to the baptismal font? Could it have been the time that you professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Let's develop it just a little bit more. Satan falls when a person trusts in Christ above all other things. What do you trust in? What's your go-to? Your bank account? Your stocks? The home you live in? Your job? Your family? Those are all really good things. But they're not going to bring you salvation. What's going to bring you salvation is faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Trust in God, because it's not by works that we're saved, but by his grace. Satan falls when a person stands firm against evil. Both as individuals and collectively as the body of Christ. One of the great tools of the devil is hate and suspicion. You're not like me. You speak a different language. You've got a different color of skin. You don't think that people should be baptized the way we think people should be baptized. And all of a sudden, those differences, which God made as beautiful things, God made differences. Can you imagine what the world would look like if God made everything in one color? Everything was gray. Wouldn't that be a nasty world? It wouldn't be great. But God created us incredibly unique. There are some differences, but what's sinful about that is we make them into divisions. We start to divide ourselves. We start to get into these little groups that are hostile to other little groups, and we begin to hate people because they're not like us. We begin to be critical. Oh, God. You know what I'm talking about. You just have to look around. God comes into us and God says, you are my children. You are all my children. I love everyone in the world, yellow, red, and yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He brings us together. He sends us out into the world. Satan falls when a person is so at one with Christ that Christ lives and acts to that person. You know, there's a little kid that went to church, and he came out, and he, mom says, how was children's church today? And he goes, I heard today that, I want to ask you the question, is God so big that he can hold the universe in the palm of his hand? Is he bigger than the universe? And the mom says, well, yeah, he is. Well, is it true that God is in us? She goes, yeah, that's also true. And he goes, well, gosh, mom, how come God doesn't stick out a little bit more? Does God stick out in you? When people meet you, what do they meet? God sends his Holy Spirit into us to transform us inwardly by the renewing of our minds through the power of his Holy Spirit, that we will no longer conform to the patterns of the world, but we will be like Christ. Instead of being bitter, instead of being judgmental, we will be loving, we will be forgiving, even as we are forgiven. In the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. You can do nothing apart from me. But Paul would write in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So apart from Christ, we can do nothing. But with Christ, we can do all things. We can change the world. We can do it one person at a time. It seems like a big thing, but it doesn't have to be. Just deal with your own world, your own sphere of influence. In John chapter 17, Jesus says, I pray not only for my apostles, but for those who will believe through their testimony. Jesus is praying for you. And not only for you, but for those who will believe according to your testimony. Will you offer it? You know, sometimes you don't know how things turn out. God just asks us to be faithful. I get to share a word of salvation with someone, and it might seem like they've rejected it, but what happens when they go home? And the Holy Spirit starts to work on us, because it's nothing that my incredible presenting skills can do. It's nothing that my charm and my wit can bring to them. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. It has nothing to do with me, except that I am a vessel of the Holy Spirit, that I bring that word to that person, and the Holy Spirit takes it and enlarges it. We don't know how the Holy Spirit works. In John chapter 3, Jesus said the Holy Spirit's like a wind. It blows wherever it will. You don't know where it came from or where it's going to go. But the Holy Spirit is alive in his word, and we have the word on our lips, and we need to share it. How many times have I said that? Is that enough? You get the point? I wonder what heaven was like when Jesus ascended into heaven. And all the angels said, well, did you get the job done, Lord? He goes, well, I entrusted the job to these 12 guys. There was tax collectors, fishermen, zealots, different people. I entrusted the job of getting the gospel out to those people, and the angels were horrified. You mean there's no plan B? Well, there wasn't then, and there's nothing now. You are the only plan that God is using to get the message out. When you leave this place filled with his word, when you leave this place having received the sacrament, when you leave this place having shared the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in one another, go out into that mission world and spread the word of God. And may the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.